time for us to go back to the hotline now as we bring in our Hollywood guru, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, man. Yourself?
Lovely, and we need to pat you on the back, my friend, because you did predict that Western Conference Finals was going to go seven games, and it did indeed go seven games. So You're allowed to toot your own horn for just a moment here, my friend.
Well,
but we've got to ask you.
I'm going to toot it as well. I was wrong on Clarkson Hood, but I did say that this series, we'd lose the first two, we'd win the next two, we'd lose one, then we'd win the next two. This is the least worried I've ever been in a series, and I knew like certain people were panicked. Like, I knew it was going to happen. I knew we'd play the Warriors, and, you know, we'll see.
How are you feeling about this series?
I'm feeling like I talked myself into two games.
Okay, so you think it'll be Warriors in six. See, I think if they win two games, that would be pretty darn impressive, given the juggernaut that exists out west. But
well, let's not forget, LeBron took, what, that team with Matthew Dellavedova and Mozgov to win two games against the Warriors? Yes, they added Durant, but you know, if he can take that team six games, I think he can take this team. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we're upset with a sweep, and I wouldn't be surprised with winning, you know, two games. But anything more than that is a huge accomplishment for him.
Yes.
I think two games is a huge accomplishment for him.
I would agree wholeheartedly. They win two games, that's a major accomplishment. All right. Onto the big screen, my friend.
Yes.
I know we've talked about Solo quite a bit in recent months, and I know that they really kind of failed to meet their expectations at the box office on opening weekend. You think it's because people are kind of getting a little bit tired of the overexposure of the series, or do you think it's because the movie just isn't very good?
I think a little bit of both. I think part of it, the trailers really didn't look that good. You heard a lot of, you know, stuff happening, going wrong with it. Everyone kind of said it was like blah. And for what we talked about Last Jedi, I think while I did like Last Jedi, I know a lot of people did not. And I think because of that, it really, you know, people were kind of like over it. And I think there was a little bit of fatigue for sure. But not just fatigue with Star Wars. I think it was box office fatigue too, man. You had, like we talked about incessantly, everyone saw Avengers. A lot of people saw Deadpool. You go back to back to back, that third film probably isn't going to do nearly as well. And that's the one thing that people aren't talking about as much is box office fatigue. It's more of, oh, is it Star Wars, like you asked, is it Star Wars fatigue, or is it just not a good movie? From all intents and purposes I've heard, it's a fine movie. It's okay. It's nothing exciting. It's a basic blockbuster. It is what it is, and I think that's part of the problem. I think, you know, when you do these movies that branch off from Star Wars, like you have your Rogue Ones who really kind of change what Star Wars is supposed to be, and then you have something that just kind of blah. And I mean, what I heard is it's a Ron Howard movie, so you know, it is what it is. And I think, I don't know, we'll see. I'm sure the next Star Wars will do perfectly fine, and I don't think it's as big of a deal as people are making it.
Well, this next topic has become a pretty big deal, and I guess it's the elephant in the room in the entertainment world. We got to address this Roseanne situation. For all the hype around the first season and the renewal of the second season, temporarily anyways, is there any way that this might resurface down the road? I know that, you know, the tweets that were sent out really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way for all the obvious reasons. Sometimes these fires can be put out over time. Is there any chance of that happening here?
I highly, highly doubt it. I mean, here's my issue, and I'm going to take kind of, I wouldn't say a controversial take on it, but just something. I kind of wish they hadn't canceled it right away. I wish they would have let it, Simmer, I know a lot of people were very upset with what she said, and what she said was wrong. But when you look at it, right, there's like 200, probably around 200 people's jobs were just lost because of this. Because of the crazy racist tweets of a person with a history of crazy racist tweets. So when you're ABC and you give someone like that position, and then you're like, oh, they did it again. Now we're going to look great by firing, by canceling this. I think it does disservice for ABC for their show. I think they basically, they knew what they were getting into. And I think they should have at least, you know, they should take some of the responsibility for these people losing their jobs and for this cancellation when they knew that this was a strong possibility that this could happen. But, you know, I don't see her landing on her feet at all. I think unless she really goes with a conservative-minded network, or, you know, you might see her pop on, like, Fox News or something, and who knows. But she's definitely, as far as, you know, a lot of these other big networks, kind of shot herself in the foot.
Yes, makes perfect sense, and I think there's not many out there that would disagree with that. See, my plan all along, and you know exactly where I'm going with this because you and I have had this discussion about this show before. Some people on social media said, you know, they should have just called the show Dan and the show could somehow live with King Goodman leading the way. They should have just called the show Goodman and it would have been fine. Because if you take Dan Connor off of the show Roseanne, it stinks. So if they had just made John Goodman the star, you know, it would have been okay.
Not only that, but you also have Lori Metcalf.
Yes.
Who was nominated for an Academy Award last year. She's a heck of an actress. Dang, John Goodman's a heck of an actor. I would have been fine just watching the two of them. Maybe, you know, Roseanne dies, Dan ends up, you know, you hear these weird things about, like, them marrying the sister of their wife. You know, it's a real, you know, I could totally see that happening. Let him marry Laura Metcalf, they raise the kids together. I would much rather watch that show than one with Roseanne. I never liked Roseanne. I always thought she was obnoxious. But one of the weirdest things about this, just, I guess it's part of our political landscape as well, is you have Tom Arnold getting a show on Vice, you know, showing what's wrong with society and with Trump. He has somehow become the voice of reason, and Roseanne has become the crazy person, which in the mid-90s you would have never seen coming. And that's what's crazy about these era and this time. And Tom Arnold's been nonstop tweeting. He reviewed, we talked about this later or earlier, about how he reviewed it, Roseanne. And he's come off well, and this whole situation is bizarre. Last night was definitely one of the weirdest. We're getting off on a tangent here, but last night was definitely one of the weirdest news cycles ever. You had the Roseanne thing, you had the Brian Colangelo thing, you had that reporter in Ukraine, and it was just nonstop. Why even interview me to talk about TV? The news is crazier than anything on TV right now.
Al, yeah. Has 2017 kind of set the landscape for what's now Hollywood? I mean, you had Harvey Weinstein. We're hearing about him being taken in by police in New York.
Yeah.
Charges of rape coming at him. It seems like in the 90s, early 2000s, that just dies at the beginning of the whole story. Now you have Roseanne, who's taken off the air when she has the number one show on ABC. Things are certainly changing, it seems, out there in Hollywood. For the better.
It does, but it's not like, I think it's become more of a big deal. But if you remember, like, what was it, in the 90s, Bill Maher had his show on ABC. It got canceled for some of his viewpoints. So ABC is not just picking a side. ABC has a track record of doing this. So
yeah, but
I don't
Bill
think
Maher was on at like 11:30 at
well,
night.
That's true.
I mean, it's kind of a
no,
different.
You're right.
Yeah.
But they've always been like, they've always won. They're owned by Disney, right? So there is some sort of family aspect to them, where they are willing to push the limits, but they don't want anything, you know. Especially they don't want their star tweeting racist things. And you know, I think it is definitely different now, and it's being more exposed. But I don't necessarily think it's a complete change. I think it's just more noticeable. But yeah, obviously, well, the sexual harassment is a much bigger deal than it ever was in the 90s. But I think, you know, the other stuff, you can't have a TV show on prime time and say some of the things that she said. And, yeah, I mean, that's the long and short of it. And to be honest with you, I saw some tweets about this, and to me, a lot of these conservative, like, people are getting very upset because they feel like it's just people pushing conservative. Or anyone that is a conservative is getting run out, which I don't agree with at all. But I'm won't be surprised if in the next 5 years you have a network that is pushing more towards conservative-type shows. conservative personalities such as Tim Allen and Rosie O'Donnell, who both had their shows canceled this year, and people like Bill O'Reilly and stuff like that, I think you will see something like that pop up in the next few years, really trying to push to that demographic. But again, we shall see.
Al, I've got to ask you a couple more questions before we cut you loose here because we've only got a few minutes left. But I want to hit on something near and dear to your heart, and you wanted to talk about this last week, and I promised you that I would bring it up on this week's show. So I'm going to let you bask in the glory here of the Cleveland Browns being featured on this year's version of HBO's Hard Knocks. So you think this is a good thing. You're very, very excited for this. What good comes of this?
I think it's a great thing, and I'll tell you, and also – for me, you know, I think there has been a distance of ever since I left Cleveland. I'm in L.A. now. I still love my sports team, but I'm less – I don't hear the day-to-day, you know, sports talk and that. I don't read the newspaper every day. So I can look at it from a different viewpoint. So I don't care if it affects their play, and part of it is because, you know, they've won one game in 2 years, so I don't think it can affect them much worse. But – to me, one thing is it does allow you as a fan to get to know a lot of these players even more intimately, that I think I will enjoy watching this season even more, getting to know the players more. Secondly, I think it's great for the team. I think it's great to, like, show off what they are, that they aren't the same old Browns. And then just for, I don't know, story purposes, as someone who, you know, has been in the entertainment industry, has wrote some scripts, has done that whole thing, there are so many amazing storylines with this team. First of all, Baker Mayfield is just going to jump off the screen, right? He's just going to be, he's going to become a star. Then you have the Josh Gordon, you have the Andre, I think his last name was Callaway, and then how him and Gordon mesh. And then you have, you know, all these players you're bringing into a losing culture. You have, I'm sure Joe Thomas will be part of it as well, showing some of these guys how to play. John Dorsey is just, you know, rough and tumble. You have a weird connection with the coaching staff and, you know, management. And then you just have all these young players trying to make this team. And a lot of guys are just, I don't know, I can't think of a better team for this. And as someone who just, like, loves sports stories, I think this is rife with good material. I'm in, man. I'm hoping we get picked. I think this is the best team to do it. I think Myles Garrett's going to be great on camera. I think obviously Baker Mayfield is going to be just – Baker Mayfield might become the biggest celebrity in football after this series. And so I don't know. I know you're not as into it as I am, but yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it. Like I said, we're a one-win team. We're not going to do much worse.
All right, Al, before we get to these picks to click, you've got to settle a debate that Douglas and I have been having since the show began today.
Yes.
Douglas, for whatever reason, is in the corner of that movie, Dude, Where's My Car? While it had some funny moments, I thought it was one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen. Where do you fall on that? Where are you on this Dude, Where's My Car flick?
Oh, Dude, Where's My Car is one of, if not the dumbest movie I've ever seen. But it came out in that sweet spot of, I may have been like 14, 15, and I love dumb movies like that. And so, like, that, Half-Baked, Billy Madison, you know, Almost Heroes, all of those movies are bad. Dirty Work, but Dirty Work is a great movie. All of those movies are pretty stupid, but they will have a soft spot in my heart for all time because of when I saw them, and I enjoyed them at the time. But of everything I mentioned, Dirty Work is a masterpiece, so everyone should watch Dirty Work.
This is exactly what I told Bull. I said he was too old for the movie when it came out. I think I was a sophomore, junior in high school when it came out, and it was the right time for me. For Bull, he was a little older. It didn't work for him.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. But, Bull, you definitely, I know you. You have some really bad movies you like. So, I don't think you should be judging anyone on their like of Dude, Where's My Car.
All right, well, we can all agree that Dirty Work is one of the absolute greatest movies ever created, right?
It's a good movie, yes.
All right, we'll settle on that. We'll end this in an agreeing state here before we get to the picks to click. All right, my man, what should we be watching for this week?
Again, I don't really know. It's another not great week with coming out, especially since we're calling what, on a Wednesday. But I am a little interested in this show on HBO, Succession, that premieres on Sunday with Brian Cox about an old, you know, head of a company retiring, or his family trying to take, his son's trying to take over the company. It really hits to a lot of the things we're dealing with now. Adam McKay is the executive producer on it, who, of course, Bull knows as the director of most of Will Ferrell's movies, but he also was directed The Big Short, which is in the same realm as Succession, but I think Succession looks a little more dramatic and a little more darker. So I guess I'm looking forward to that. The reviews that have come out right now are kind of middling, little higher, you know, like I think I have like a 75 on Metacritic. So I'm interested. Again, I don't think it's a great week, but I'll definitely give that a watch.
Good stuff, my man. Well, Al, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We'll talk to you again here in just a few days. We'll have you back on again on Monday.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks, Al. Al Harris, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. One last break for us to take. We'll come back to wrap up today's show after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.